While we sit here today before the Lord and the Lord in our midst, let's just thank Him and praise Him. Seek in your heart to just draw nigh. Let the arms in your heart reach out to the Lord when we come together. Don't just come in and sit down like you're a spectator. Be a spectator. Did I get that right, Lord? A spectator. We don't want to be spectators. We want to be worshipers in church. I just wanted to say that. Turn in your Bible to Luke 17.
Get your mic where you can hear.
Pardon?
Move your mic around. Can't hear you.
Somebody might hear me. Okay, thank you, brother. Luke 17. In Luke 17, I'm going to read a passage about some people that were leopards. This was a pitiful sight, folks, a leopard. They still people with leopards in the world, but not as many, because today they got cures for people that have leopard. Back in the days of the Bible, there was no cure except with Jesus. And people, when they had leprosy, was put out of town or out of the community, away from people, so other people wouldn't catch that dread disease. Kind of like this COVID mess we're putting up with today. Except they had leopards. And a leopard's ears would fall off. His nose would fall off. His fingers would fall off. And one by one, he would just disintegrate. Pitiful. Awful disease. Leprosy. One day, Jesus was going down the road. And he came to this place. And there was 10 leopards that happened to see him. They had heard about him. When they seen Jesus and knew who he was, they hollered, "Hey, hey!" Let's read it, beginning at verse 11 of chapter 17. And it came to pass as he went to Jerusalem that he passed through the midst of Samaria and Galilee. And as he entered into a certain village, there met him 10 men that were lepers, which stood afar off. Why are they standing afar off? They're not allowed to come close to him or anybody else. They couldn't be at home with their families. They just had to be in a little, what's called a leopard colony. It's just pitiful. They couldn't be around their own families. And here they're standing afar off. And they lifted up their voices and said, "Jesus, Master, have mercy on us." And when he saw them, he said unto them, "Go show yourselves unto the priest." Now notice that, folks. He didn't say you're healed. He said, just go show yourself to the priest. Now, why did Jesus say that? Jesus said that because under the Mosaic law, the people that was found to be a leopard had to leave camp, get outside the camp. And if that blemishes that was leprous was to go away, they could go back home to their family. But before they could go back to their family, they'd have to first go to the priest to get the priest's approval that their leprosy was gone. And so Jesus tells them to do what the law of Moses has written. Go show yourselves to the priest, that the priest see that you're free of leprosy. And so he just told them, go show yourselves to the priest. And it came to pass that as they went, they were cleansed. They were cleansed after, get this, church, listen to me. The leprosy did not disappear until they obeyed the Lord. You got to go. They started out with leprosy, but as they went, it went away. What's the point of that? We're supposed to obey what the Word of God said. Hey, let me tell you something about this book here. When you read this book and I'm reading this book, did you know that's God talking? That's God Almighty talking to you. Think about that. God's talking to you this morning. And it came to pass as they went, they were cleansed. And one of them, one out of ten, I keep losing my place. One of them, when he saw that he was healed, turned back. And with a loud voice, he glorified God. Boy, he just had a Baptist fit right there. Amen. He was healed. And so, he came back and fell down on his face at his feet, giving him thanks. And he was a Samaritan. A Samaritan was a half breed. He was half Jew, and he was half Samaritan. And Jesus answered, said, here's the pitiful part. Were there not 10 cleansed? But where are the 9 at? Where's them other leopards at? Them other 9 at? What a question. They had been made clean. They've been made now able to be restored back to their homes, their families, their communities. They could now live a normal life. But 9 of them didn't even come back, thank the Lord. Does that sound like people today? This is the Lord's day today. Look at the people that won't be in church today to thank Him for their blessings, to praise Him for giving them a Savior that they hadn't accepted. Folks, where's the 9 at? I think we still got them around today. One of the things that we see today is likened to what we saw with 10 lepers that Jesus healed in Luke 17. People want Jesus' blessings. Hey, Lord! Hey, Lord! Heal me! Bless me! But they don't want to serve God. They don't want to serve God. But they want Him to bless them. Amen? As Jesus was on His way to Jerusalem, He passed through Samaria, as I've already mentioned. And Samaria's were a mixture of Jews and Gentiles had married, and to the Jewish people, they were considered an unclean people. The Jews wouldn't accept them. You know what a Jew would do when he was going from Jerusalem to Capernaum? He'd go way around out of the extra distance just to keep from going through Samaria, because they felt much better than those Samaritans. Isn't it bad when people feel they're better than somebody else? Are you better than somebody else? But because Jesus loves all people and He wants all people to be blessed, He's going to go through Samaria, because He'll know what's waiting for Him, because He knew. And He saw these 10 lepers that standing afar off, and when Jesus saw them, or when they saw Jesus, they knew who He was and that He had the power to heal, because they'd heard about that man that was doing all those miracles. And they began to cry to Jesus and call Him Master, calling Him Master, pleading to Him that He would have mercy on them. Master. But He was not their Master. They weren't living for Him. When Jesus heard their cry, He told them to go show themselves to the priest. So they took Jesus at his word, and as they went in obedience to Jesus, they were healed, as I've already stated. So when Jesus tells us to do something, his word, we're supposed to do it. That's God telling us, or the Lord telling us. Same thing. It's just as applicable today as it was then, that we are to do what he said. If we don't, we're not keeping his commands, and we're going to be missing his blessings. If we would also do what Jesus said, we would have a better life. Did you know that? Today, if you go uptown, you'll probably find somebody standing at an intersection holding a sign, want somebody to give money, even today. But if they do what God said or the Lord said, hey, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved, their life would be changed. They wouldn't have to stand at a sign with a sign. At a stop sign with a sign. So here we go. So here goes these now healed lepers down the road to show themselves to the priest, to get their approval, to re-enter society now that their leprosy was healed. What a happy bunch of men. Amen. They had to be happy. That'd be like getting out of the penitentiary. Amen. Yeah. Suddenly, when realizing he was healed, one of the lepers stopped and turned back and with a loud voice began to praise God and to give him glory. Can you all imagine that, folks? Yeah. But what's so sad is it was just one of them. Just one out of 10. Not only did he praise God, but he came back to where Jesus was and fell down upon his feet, giving thanks to the Lord for healing him, a Samaritan. He knew he was looked upon as a nobody, as despised. But here was this Jew who had just healed him. Amen? And here he was at his feet worshiping this Jew. Folks, everywhere in this world today, there ought to be people worshiping that Jew, because that Jew's the only one that can give you life and real life and life abundantly. Not only did he praise God, but he came back, fell upon his face, giving thanks to the Lord for healing him. Then Jesus asked this question, where were there not 10 cleansed? Where are the 9 at? Where's the 9 at that I cleansed also? This shocked Jesus to see their thankslessness. Here's these men got the best gift could be given to them besides salvation. They had their health. Let me tell you something, church. I know what it is to have had perfect health. I tell you, I don't have it anymore. You can't buy it. You can't buy it. I remember when I didn't ask anybody to do anything. I could do it myself. That old piano over there. Guess who brought that piano out here by itself? I brought it out of a woman's house that gave it to me. I brought it on my truck. I opened that door. I brought that piano right by myself, put it in there. I can do it. Folks, I can't hardly open the door now. I can do it. Then Jesus said to the thankful leper, arise, go thy way. Thy faith has made thee whole. I believe he got not only his leper gone, but he got saved. Amen. He didn't say that about them other dudes. You know, what I see with the 10 lepers is like a lot of people today. God bless me and let me go. This is exactly what most people seem to want. God bless me and let me go live as I please. That's people's attitude. I thank you, Lord, for blessing me, but I do not have time to stop and give thanks. Amen. Isn't that a general idea today with a lot of folks? I don't have time to serve you, God. I got to go somewhere else on the Lord's day. I worked hard all week. His thanklessness grieves the heart of God. And if you read your Bible, know anything about Genesis chapter 6, God had got grieved again with the people. And what did he do? He destroyed them all except Noah and his family. Probably 2 million people was drowned that day. We do not want God. We want what God will give us. Amen? Amen. Y'all are being mighty quiet. I remember when cars were few and most of the community went to church. But now that everyone has a nice car, people do not go to church as they did when they had no car. Isn't that strange? I remember going to church in the mule and wagon. Yeah. Remember those 9 leopards who give no thanks had to live away from their families? They had to avoid society so that their dread disease would not pass on other people. They lived in fear of the leprosy, eating away their bodies, slowly bringing them to their death. Now, when Jesus told the 10 lepers to go to the priest, they obeyed the Lord and took off in a rush to get healed from their leprosy. Notice they had faith to believe what Jesus said, and they expected to be healed because of who said it. This brings us to the question, do you live by what Jesus said? Do you live by what Jesus said? Jesus told these lepers to go to the priest, and they started before they were healed. They had faith to believe Jesus. Folks, this old book here is true. Every word of it's true. You can believe every. You don't have to doubt a word in that Bible right there, folks. It's true. It's as relevant today as the day it was written. It changes not. It's forever settled in heaven, the Word of God says. This book was given to us to give us a path on how to live a life. And you're not going to get by in your life leaving it out. You're going to reap what you sow. Think of the people who are missing out on untold blessings because they do not have faith in what Jesus said. Jesus said in Matthew 11:28, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, I'll give you rest. I'll give you rest." That meant he'd give them salvation. Their sins won't be burdening them anymore. You ever done wrong after you were saved and got deeply, deeply convicted? Come to Jesus and confess it. In Matthew 19:13-14, "Then were brought unto him little children, that he should put his hands on them and pray. And the disciples rebuked him." Hey, them spiritual guys, amen, that was following him around, rebuked him. But Jesus said, "Suffer little children, and forbid them not to come unto me, for of such is the kingdom of heaven." I remember when I was in card class, and we first started then having BTU, and we had a teacher and in our card class and in that BTU class when I was real young. I look back on it now, but I remember, how I loved the Lord Jesus at that time. I hadn't even got saved. But it was so, I remember that feeling I had. I could have got saved then if I had any sense, amen, in a card class. In Matthew 14:29-31, Jesus said, and he said, come. And when Peter was come down out of the ship, he walked on the water to go to Jesus. But when he saw the wind boisterous, he was afraid and began to sink. He cried, saying, Lord, save me. I don't know how he had time to say, Lord, save me. Because when you stand on water, there ain't no foundation there. Amen. And immediately Jesus stretched forth his hand and caught him. I guess as his head was going on, he got it, amen. And said unto him, O thou of little faith, wherefore didst thou doubt? If he'd have just kept his faith, he could have walked right on that water to the Lord. Folks, we cannot give thanks to God by ignoring him. We cannot give thanks to God rushing our way to where we want to go. If we are really thankful for the blessings of life, we need to praise the Lord. Thank the Lord. Love the Lord. Serve the Lord. But nine of them had no interest. What about you? Do you have an interest? It was when the people before the flood of Noah's day gave no thanks to God that they degenerated into an evil, wicked, godless people who God destroyed with a flood. Thanklessness is a great sin. Not being thankful is a sin. Taking God for granted is a sin. Having no time to read your Bible? That's a serious business, folks. You need help. You need the bread of life. You need God's word. Too many people just expect God to bless them because he loves them. Yes, he loves everybody. He loves everybody. I don't care how evil one is or how wicked or how long they've been there. He loves them people, folks. That's the reason a lot of times he lets evil people live a long time, giving them plenty of time to repent. And often they don't. And then they'll have more sins charged to them, and it'll be worse torment in hell for them. Because the more sins an unbeliever has, the worse it'll be in hell. Let me tell all of us one thing today. We don't deserve any of God's blessings. But God wants to bless. He blesses us, desiring that we would worship him and praise him. After all, folks, he is God. There is not but one God. God is a spirit. But one day God, in some mysterious way through the incarnation, God become a man. And yet God the Father still sat on the throne of creation. If anybody can explain that, they can't. They can't explain it. But the same God that sat on the throne of creation and made the world, he made it through Jesus Christ, who became a man and walked among men just like all of us. He was just a person like all of us, and yet he is still God Almighty at the same time. Nobody can explain all that. It's a mystery, even to the Bible scholars. Yet he came as a man to rescue me and you. He came to rescue us. He saw we were all lost. Sin had condemned us. We're all born sinners. We come into the world as a sinner, screaming and a hollering, "Give me something to drink. Give me something to eat." That's the sinner in us. Demand me what I want. God blesses us, desiring us to worship and praise Him. God's blessing should attract all people to the Lord with a desire to live a life to show their thanks and prepare to live with God for eternity. God blesses us, but we ought to see where our blessings come from and thank Him. I just love the month of November, because in the month of November, there's this thing, at least in my heart and in my life, in the month of November, it's missing a lot today, but this attitude of be thankful for your blessings. That's what I get in November, church. It's a special month to me because we always went down to Mama's. The family got down there. We got together. Oh, I just thank the Lord for all my blessings. Amen. I thank the Lord for my blessings. Amen. His goodness to me. The mercy He's given to me. I wouldn't trade it for anything. Money can't buy what God give me. Money can't buy what God give me. I delight to be in church. I've been in church all my life. Even when I was in the Army on Sunday, we'd go to chapel. We wouldn't get nothing in chapel, but I'd go. Them Army chaplains didn't have too much, the ones I had. But I always went, me and my cousin, we went together just to go to church. I always took a job in my life. I've always took a job to keep me from being out of church on Sunday. I never take a job that would put me out of church. I want to please God. I failed many times. I fell on my face many times. I've cried many times because I messed up. But God wants us to worship Him, bless Him, love Him, and serve Him. Be what you're here in this church today. When you get outside, you be that way too. Amen. Don't put on no airs outside. God's keeping a record of every one of us. Every word you say, every thought you have is recorded in the books. Amen. And you're going to face it. If you're saved, you won't have any sin there, but you can lose rewards or gain rewards. Everything we have in this life is a gift from God. You might say, "Well, I worked for this." Well, you may have, but you wouldn't have got it if God hadn't given you the strength and the work. Jesus met all kind of people in His ministry. He healed the lame. He healed the lepers. He opened the eyes of the blind. He cast out demons. And He raised the dead. Amen. What a Savior, folks. Amen. And He's my Savior. Can you say He's your Savior? Amen. People are so thrilled to see their loved ones heal and live a normal life. But you look at our world today, Jesus is not here in the sense He was in that time. He was appearing as a man in that time to show who He was, that He was God, that he was worthy to be worshipped. But his main reason he was here was because he came down to this world to die on a cross. Accused of a crime of being God. And he was. And they hung him for being God. Poor deceived souls. But Jesus met bad characters and with the religious leaders. It's a lot like our Sunday school lesson Johnny shared with us today. He got that crowd wanted to overrule God's appointed leadership. Jesus met those religious leaders who were holier than thou, they thought. Jesus called them hypocrites. Oh, they couldn't do anything with Jesus. They even tried to kill him on several occasions. He wouldn't let them. He came to die on a cross for my sin, your sin. They tried to trick Jesus or catch him in some manner to make him a liar, but they never could. Jesus had the wisdom of God, amen. Nobody outsmarted him. Until Jesus was ready for the cross, his enemies could not touch him. The Apostle Paul said in Colossians 3, 12 through 15, put on therefore as the elect of God, holy and beloved bowels of mercy, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, long-suffering, forbearing one another, forgiving one another. If any man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, ye also do ye. And above all these things, put on charity, which is the bond of perfection. And let the peace of God rule in your heart, to the which also you're called in one body. And be ye thankful. Amen. Be ye thankful. Be a thankful people. Be thankful for who you are. Be thankful that God put you in this country. Be thankful that you have an opportunity to go to church and learn about a God that loves you so much. He let his son die so you could live with him. God wants me to live with him? Me? Even more than I want to live with him, if you understand what I'm saying. God wants us folks in heaven. He wants everybody in heaven. Amen? Great day in the morning. The choices we make are extremely important. Your choices are important. The decisions you make are important. Our decisions are going to affect us either for good or for bad. When we leave God out of our thoughts and our lives, we're headed down the wrong road. Stop. Take a look at all God has allowed you to have. Just think about what God has let you have. You know what? If we'd have been more faithful, he'd have given us more. Think about that. Maybe if we'd have been more faithful, he'd have given us more. But you know what? On the other hand, we might not need no more. God's going to give us what we need. Amen. So you understand what I'm saying? Yes, sir. You know, sometimes with some people, they can't handle a whole lot. It takes them down the wrong road if they got too much money. Takes them out of church. Gets them involved in things that we're about not to be involved in. When we leave God out of our thoughts, we're headed down the wrong road. So stop. Take a look at all God has allowed you to have. He has even gave you a Savior who paid for all your sins. Are you thanking Him? Praising Him? Loving Him? Serving Him? He's given you your life and kept you out of hell. Right now, while I've been talking, they've been dropping into hell steadily. Steadily, people dropping into hell. Somebody you might know just dropped in. You know what? They're not going to get out but one time. They're going to get out one time to be brought to the great white throne judgment. And there, every one of them is going to be lost and cast into the lake of fire and brimstone. And they are going to that place by their own choice. Because they rather enjoy their sin than go to church and serve the Lord. Folks, I'm telling you, church, this is, your life is serious. Your life is serious. You can throw it away if you want to. God will let you throw your life away. Or you can straighten up as they, well, that old saying, and fly right. Now, it's not easy to serve Jesus Christ. Don't misunderstand. This is not a pie job serving the Lord. Because the old devil's going to send demons against us to try to discourage us. To try to get us, if we get saved, even to be a do-nothing Christian. The old devil's smart. No, serving the Lord, you may have health problems because you served the Lord. Apostle Paul did. Amen. Some people's got this idea, if I serve the Lord, I'm going to be healthy, wealthy, and wise. No, not necessarily. Amen. Not necessarily. Why would you ignore God? Why would you pay no attention to God? Why would you ignore this book here? This book of great wisdom. This book that is the greatest book that's ever been written. There's not even one lie in it, but there's a big liar in it. The old devil's in it. Why would you not love Him and serve Him and give thanks to Him all the time for being so good to you? God's good to you. Amen? Amen. How much like the nine leopards are you and me? We want God to bless us, but Lord, I got some important things I want to do. It's awful how we are as people if we're not careful. The Bible says in 1 Chronicles 16:34, "Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for He is good, for His mercy endureth forever." Isn't that amazing? With all the wickedness and the evil that's in this world, did you hear what He just said in there? His mercy endureth forever. God's still offering mercy with all this wickedness in this country. He's still offering mercy, Brother Chavis. I'm going to be honest to you, church, today. This is no lie. This is no lie. I'm telling y'all the truth. I beg God for mercy every day. I need His mercy. God be merciful unto me. God's a merciful God. And His mercy is forever. His mercy is forever. You've never heard anyone be as good to you as Jesus is. Not even your mama or your daddy. And I was blessed to have both. But Jesus is the one that's really good to you. Don't it make you feel good to know someone loves you more than you love yourself? Someone that's for you more than you're for yourself. He's for you more than you are for yourself. We get this attitude, you know, of what I want. But what about what God wants? Our Creator. Paul said several times in other places in the Proverbs, be content with what God gives you. Be satisfied. Be satisfied. You know what? Suddenly we could be gone. And we're going to leave everything we got behind. All that good stuff we got laying around, Brother Chase. We're going to have to leave it. Ain't that something? Poor me. Poor me. Amen. Oh, I just hate to leave my old rifle behind. Amen. I bought it when I was 13. But you see, that's the way we are, folks. If you could just get a vision of what's waiting for you as a Christian on the other side, it'd make your heart just pound with excitement. Folks, it's going to be something. And in passing, and I know I'm carrying on, but I can't help it. Did you know one day when God burns this world up, melts it down, and makes it over, God's going to come down and live on this new earth with us. We won't be up yonder somewhere else in heaven like people go to when they die now. We're going to live on the earth, the new earth. Now, I don't know whether the new heaven will be on the earth, and Bible scholars don't know this, or where it'll be like the moon above the earth. Some Bible scholars say that's where they believe it'll be, up in the air. Because it don't ever say it comes on earth. It says it comes down. But it never said it hit the earth. Because the New Jerusalem is bigger than the whole land of Israel, folks. Many times bigger than the land of Israel itself. The psalmist said in 6:3-5, return, O Lord, deliver my soul. Oh, save me for your mercy's sake. Save me for your mercy's sake. For in death there is no remembrance of thee. Think about this. How many people do you know lived 100 years ago? You don't remember one. Think of all the people that's lived in the past that we don't know. But they lived. They lived. They were real people like you and me. Real people. But they're gone. Listen to what the psalmist said. For in death there is no remembrance of thee. In the grave, who shall give thee thanks? When your body is put in the grave, you ain't going to thank the Lord no more. You're not going to praise the Lord anymore. You're going to be just like all them all the way back to Adam. Our bodies are going to melt back into the dust. Today is the day you can praise the Lord. Oh, I know we're going to praise Him in heaven. I understand all that. But listen, right now in this life, God wants you to praise Him. God wants you to love Him. God wants you to serve Him. Do what He said. Do what He said. Do what He said. Help get out the gospel. Be a living testimony of what Jesus Christ did for you. Loving one another. Loving people. We got to get out of this. I hate that group over there, and I hate that group over there. Folks, God loves us all. When you are in the grave, you'll no longer give God thanks. The psalmist said in 18:49, therefore will I give thanks unto thee, O Lord, among the heathen, and sing praise unto thy name. I will give thanks to the Lord among the heathen, and sing praises to thy name. Now's the time to witness for the Lord, church. Now's the time to humble ourselves. Love the Lord more than you do yourself. Lord, what do you want? Remember, isn't that what the Apostle Paul said before he got saved? Lord, what will you have me to do? You ever ask the Lord that? You ever ask the Lord, Lord, what you want me to do? It took a cross and the Son of God dying in our place to keep us out of hell. And what's so interesting is he was willing to die that awful, awful death when the wrath of God was poured out on him rather than it to be poured out on me and you. Church, you're blessed today to be in church. You're blessed to be in a Bible church. We're not doing like a lot of people today, hooping and a hollering and a jumping and a squalling. The Bible says everything in church is supposed to be done decently and in order. There's so much false teaching going out today in churches, this prosperity gospel, this word of life mess. It's all untrue. It's false teaching. That's why you need to stay in your Bible, to stay on the right track. All these charismatic churches, every one of their doctrines is off, every one of them. They believe you can lose your salvation. No such thing. How do you lose eternal life, folks? It's all a lie. It's all a lie. Read your Bible. Read your Bible. The truth's in the Word of God. And I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish, Jesus said. Father, thank you for letting me share with this body of believers today and others that may be here that know not the Lord. Lord, I pray you just bless everyone, give everyone the need they have today. Draw us closer to the Lord. Give us a heart hungry for the Lord. Paul taught us to ask that we have the mind of Christ. Lord, give me the mind of Christ. Lord, help me have the mind of Christ to live a life to honor and please you, Lord. Lord, we're so helpless and needy, but you are our God, and our God is God. And we praise you in Jesus' name. We pray for each one in the service today. You know the need of every heart, every life. You know every problem they are struggling with, Lord. I pray they be wise enough to call on the Lord. Present their problem to the Lord. And wait on the Lord and watch what God will do. If they'll live by faith in Jesus Christ. I pray in Christ's name. Amen. We invite you to the altar this morning. Talk to the Lord. If you've not been saved, we'll talk to you about the Lord. Tell the Lord your needs, your problems, your situation. And don't forget to praise him. Don't do like the other nine. Not